welcome to On the Box. We are back with another hour and a bit of a bit under, or however long this show ends up being, of vague TV related ramblings. That was a tangent.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, as always, I'm Andrew. That's Rob, the voice you heard, and the kind of mumbling agreement in the background with that was Andy.
Yes.
Hang on, am I the mumbling agreement?
No, I just said that Andy was the mumbling agreement. Pay attention, Rob. God.
Okay. Sorry, I was confused.
Yeah, you're always confused, Rob.
No.
Like, I don't know how you could be confused after that completely flawless introduction I just did.
That was an amazing introduction.
I mean, I think that says more about how bad things have gotten at the Geek Show. That's what we now consider to be an amazing introduction.
No, I was just really impressed by it. Anyway, I shall do blurb this week, shall I?
You're going to do the blurb?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go back to sleep then.
Okay. On the Box is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, and we like what we do. If you like what we do, then show your support. You can make a donation or buy one of our lovely bits of merchandise from our website, thegeekshow.co.uk. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and various other places on the internet, or just email us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. That's it. Let's move on to the news.
Yay!
And first up.
Yeah, I was going to maybe one of you two guys, what I've actually got the news stories, could do that.
Yes. I could do that, because the biggest news, I think, is going to be the one that I found.
I mean, that being said, alternatively, I could just make up some news.
No, because we might come to something like that. The Writers Guild of America, remember back in 2000 and was it 2007 or 2008?
What did I say, 2008?
Apparently it was 2007.
Well, history is wrong.
But anyway, the Writers Guild of America had a strike in 2007 for 100 days, and it really affected a lot of the major networks. There were programs that basically went, well, they were effectively flushed down the toilet. Shows like Heroes and various other things. They just...
Yeah, Heroes died a sad, sad death.
Yeah. And so, you would think that the studios and the networks would have learned their lesson, yeah? But memories appear to be short in the entertainment world. And so the Writers Guild of America have written a letter to the studios and networks in the US, putting them on notice that they will strike again, on the 2nd of May. It's an ongoing row over pay. The writers say they've been losing revenue in recent years, 23% in the last 2 years alone. And because so many series are getting shorter, but writers' contracts remain the same length, many of them find themselves locked into a contract without other work. And if they're not working on a show, they're not getting paid. So,
yeah, you know, no, I've never thought about it in terms of that. All these shorter series are actually really bad for writers.
Yeah. The Writers Guild of America have basically said, should this strike occur, writing for television, feature films, and digital series will cease. And basically, that will be game over for a bunch of shows. They won't continue, especially things like live entertainment and chat shows.
Mm.
They will basically stop. They'll cease completely. Mm. So live entertainment and chat shows, they will basically stop. Dramas and sitcoms will be hugely affected. Unless they've already wrapped up recording for the series, they're going to be affected in a major way. If they get non-union writers in, or if they just, you know, find some guy on the street who looks like he put two words together.
Yeah, well, that happened. And do you know what we got out of that?
What?
We got Transformers 2 out of that.
Yes, we did.
think that's what we need to just, like, go hold up DVD copies of Revenge of the Fallen and just yell at the executives, look at what you're risking. Never again.
Well, the last strike, apparently, it led to a story I've got here.
I'm positioned underneath the enemy's scrotum. Remember that scene?
Yes. Here's a great bit, though. Feature films, right? Feature films would be affected by the writer's strike. And in 2008, because of the strike, things were so bad, the 2008 Golden Globes were cancelled, with the winners read out at a press conference as there was no one to write the host jokes. Which I think is one of the most hilarious outcomes of the writer's strike.
Don't forget the other outcome.
What?
It's that the strike also notably affected Bond outing Quantum of Solace, as Daniel Craig ended up having to write some of his own dialogue.
Oh, that explains some of the shonky dialogue for him, doesn't it? It's just Daniel Craig being a bit of a geezer.
I like that, though. Nobody's writing today. Daniel, you do it. There's a pen. Or there's a computer. Do what
you want. Now probably kind of wants us to go through and just like watch all the writers write their own lines.
All the actors, you mean? All the actors. No, because you know what's going to happen.
That's what I said in my head.
I know. Because you know what's going to happen if you leave Johnny Depp anywhere in the region of writing materials.
Hmm.
He's going to start writing stuff that makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, look at him. I've seen that weird perfume advert that he does. Aftershave or Eau de Toilette, which is the water of toilet. I never understood why anyone would want the water of toilet to wear.
Have you ever thought that toilette was there before we called the toilet a toilet?
Yes, but it's funnier just to say it as water of toilet. Andy killing my jokes.
I mean, is it funny to imagine us spraying ourselves with toilet water or peeing into a perfume? That is the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. But
that's the question they're not answering with this writer's strike.
But this is the thing. Have you seen that weird advert where Johnny Depp goes and buries his jewellery in the desert? Because he's looking for something.
Have you seen anything with Johnny Depp kind of past 2010? Yes, he's a creepy man.
Yeah, it does mean that we...
And grimy.
Yeah.
Doesn't he just look like he really needs a shower?
Weirdly enough, I actually have to agree with you. And I know that there are many people in the world who would love to shower Johnny Depp, but I'm not one of them.
I would, but more as like a public service. Like, not in a sexy way, more like industrial strength water and carbolic soap.
Are you talking about shower?
Wash away the.
You're talking about a prison shower, aren't you, with the horse?
Yes.
It rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the horse again.
And you know what?
What?
In that situation, Johnny Depp is still the weirder one.
No. Oh. Sorry, Johnny, but you are. Admit it.
Yeah, you bring it on yourself, to be honest.
But yeah, the last thing I think we need right now is Johnny Depp with a typewriter or a pen.
Yes, Johnny, you've turned in the first page of this script. It just appears to be a picture of a man screaming.
Can we say, though, there are positives to this writer's strike?
No, there aren't, because you know what's going to happen.
The last strike resulted in The Big Bang Theory having their number of episodes cut. So imagine how many episodes it actually would have had.
Yeah, but I'm going to counter your argument with one simple thing. The last strike also caused the rise of reality TV shows.
Because they don't require writers.
Yeah, and that gave us a whole bunch of reality TV shows that nobody needs. I blame the Real Housewives of Alabama and Orange County on the writer's strike of America.
Yeah, but I think there's still hope for Hollyoaks then.
No, there isn't. Hollyoaks has never had any hope.
Oh my God. What if the Hollyoaks writers are the only ones who don't go on strike and they just get hired to do everything?
No. Because then they're going to think, we have to make everything sexy. Now, can you imagine if they got their hands on Larry King and decided it needed to be more sexy? So, sexy Larry King live.
Is that the punchline?
Yeah, I know. It wasn't worth it, was it?
No, not at all.
Although,
just to explain, because I'm going to have to cut out the last little bit. We've basically spent like the past 5 minutes sitting here while Rob desperately tries to Google Larry King's name.
Although, if the writers from Hollyoaks did take over everything, the next series of Walking Dead would be quite different.
The sexy Walking Dead.
And the next series of Game of Thrones would be pretty much the same.
Yes, it would.
But with accents.
No, the next series of Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives.
Oh no. The world does not need sexy Guy Fieri.
Oh, that was worth it, though.
What was the story again?
The Writers' Strike of the Writers' Guild of America going on strike on the 2nd of May, possibly.
Surely not.
I really hope.
Too much, like, film and TV have got to the point where they're too big for people to just say, yeah, sure, writers, go on strike, who cares?
Well, the thing is, streaming services, I think, might be okay. Companies like Netflix and that, they might be all right. But a lot of these writers, the way it works is you have a production company that makes the series and they sell the series on to a network. So it's the production companies themselves that are going to be affected and the networks themselves that are going to be affected. So maybe this time what we'll see is a rise in international programming on the American networks. That would be interesting. Can you imagine if they started having more Mexican soap operas, Latin American soap operas to fill in the gaps?
I mean, I'm just saying that because I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is it's just going to be exactly the same as 2007 and everything's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's going to be loads of reality TV.
No.
See, I would love it if they actually did this later in the year and had it going on so that it actually coincided with the Oscars, and so they'd have to cancel the Oscars unless they got somebody who was really on the ball.
Can we just cancel the Oscars anyway?
I wish we could, but, you know, they're too big now.
It's only a huge promotional tool anyway.
This is very true.
Yeah. And Warren Beatty certainly came off as a huge promotional tool.
Yes, he
I'm
did.
I'm just kidding. I've got nothing against you, Warren.
I like Warren Beatty ever since he did Bulworth. I like him. Didn't think much of him in Dick Tracy, though.
I loved that film as a child.
Was it the yellow suit?
It was predominantly the yellow suit.
That's what did it for everybody, is the yellow suit. The yellow suit and
the communicator watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The fact that it was an awful movie never really entered into it. We all just wanted the yellow suit.
I don't care. I refuse to watch that movie as an adult. I'm going to stick with my nostalgia-tinged memories of it.
Yes, that's fine.
Because Madonna was the villain. That can't be a good film when Madonna's the villain.
I thought we established Madonna is a villain.
But Madonna acting is a villain.
Madonna acting is villainous. I've seen her movies. She is not good.
No.
Desperately Seeking Susan. I'm desperately seeking an exit. Please stop this.
You had that one prepared, didn't you?
No, didn't.
Don't lie, but you've been there awake at night just writing that, just desperately seeking. I'm desperately seeking an exit, and for years. Years you've been waiting to use that one.
Actually, I haven't, and I'm being completely honest.
I think Rob's just practicing in front of a mirror, like how he's going to deliver that punchline.
What do you think I am? I'm not some highly trained actor.
No, then you don't remember who Larry King's name was.
Just me sitting here going, line.
Can someone fetch me a lemon water?
So anyway, shall we move on to... I believe you have something, Andy.
Yes, this is going to be probably another one we go off a completely different tangent on.
Yes.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, is this the mysterious guest star that you were talking about?
Yeah, that little show that, it's gotten quite popular.
Yes.
Yeah, well, has a bit of a following.
Yeah. Everybody wants to basically cameo on that show. And apparently this next one he's in it for 5 minutes, this day. But 5 minutes is a long time for a scene, remember?
Yes. Now, I want to clarify 2 points. When you said cameo, my immediate thought was word up. Which led me down wrong places. It led me down totally the wrong avenue of thought. And there were red jockstraps everywhere. Is this guest star? Give me a clue about this guest star.
Well, I can't give too much of a clue because, he's kind of funny looking. He's quite popular.
Okay, kind of funny.
Well, I was going to say Rob, but that second one rules him out.
Thank you so much. I was going to say kind of funny looking and quite popular could mean just about anybody.
Person that you'll notice if he was in anything.
Prince Charles?
I mean, again, I'm not sure. Not sure he falls into the quite popular.
If I give you the big clue, you'll probably get it.
Okay, let us take a couple of guesses.
Oh my God, is it Batman?
No, it'd be a very funny Batman. It's definitely a he.
Definitely. Are you sure?
I think so.
Is it One Direction star Harry Styles? Because Joey's going to be in the new Christopher Nolan movie.
Who?
Harry Styles from the One Direction.
Why?
That band, what makes the thing that can be generously called music.
Not going to be the next Joker, is he?
No, he's going to be in the Dunkirk.
Ah.
I don't know why I'm calling everything the something.
I was going to say, is he going to be the Dunkirk?
The Dunkirk?
No. Is his name Kirk and he's done?
No, everyone is just going to like fight on top of him.
Yeah.
Should I give you a big clue?
No. I want to take a guess at this. Does he play a guitar?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, God, it's not Johnny Depp, is it?
I'm going to say you're probably going to get it.
It's Ed Sheeran, isn't it? It's Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, I was going to say everyone's favourite ginger, but then that's basically Prince Harry, isn't it? But, like, yeah, Ed Sheeran is going to be a guest star in an episode of Season 7 of Game of Thrones.
Is this the episode called Everyone Falls Asleep?
He said he's in it for 5 minutes, but he doesn't die, so he's open to be in for more scenes.
What is even the point of appearing in Game of Thrones if you're not going to die?
Yeah, and the whole point of it is to die horribly. Have your head cut off and then play football with your head, just like Sean Bean did.
Like, if I'm going to be on Game of Thrones, I want to get at least disemboweled.
Yeah. You know, either that or I want to run around with a big sword going, I'm going to cut your tonker off.
I mean, I don't think that's quite Martin-level dialogue.
True. They're very true. Oh. Anyway, so Ed Sheeran's going to be in Game of Thrones and he doesn't die.
He doesn't die.
Has he actually filmed his bit yet?
Yes.
I was going to say, damn it. I was hoping he hadn't because there'd still be room. Why Ed Sheeran, though? Why not somebody else?
Well, there's been quite a few. Like, it says there's been cameos such as Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol, Coldplay's World Champion.
Oh, my God. Has Game of Thrones reached that stage? Has Game of Thrones reached that weird stage where they feel like their popularity is waning, so they have to invite a load of really famous guest actors and famous people in just to maintain their ratings? Has it reached that stage?
I mean, as much as I would love to see Game of Thrones meets the Harlem Globetrotters, I think it's actually the complete opposite of that.
Okay. It says showrunners David Benioff and Dan Weiss revealed that the 26-year-old is so popular with cast members they've been trying to get him on, like, for ages. So it's quite...
So the cast members have been trying to get Ed Sheeran on. Okay. I'm fine with that.
But yeah, but I think for a lot of it, it's like people ring them up and say, I'm a famous person, can I be on Game of Thrones? And they'll say like, yeah, sure, go stand in the background.
And then they brag about it, going, I was on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, I just find it hilarious you don't get royalty going to Game of Thrones.
Prince Harry.
No, the Queen going, why should I go on Game of Thrones? I already have several. I don't do the Queen's voice at all.
No, well, but I do like to imagine the Queen just now sits on the Iron Throne.
Oh, there's a mental image.
Ordering death by combat.
No.
Philip, call the architects. We're having a moon door installed.
Death by corgis. Being savaged by a pack of corgis.
Yeah. Now someone, I really want someone to like edit the end of the last series. Just for that, people were sat just going, no one will remember your name. And like a bunch of corgis just come and start licking Ramsay.
Oh. No, Death by Corgi.
I don't know where to go from that.
No, I think we have to show call this show Death by Corgi.
With a picture of the Iron Throne and, like, well, I was just say, well, not Queen Elizabeth, like, loads of corgis around it.
I might be able to do Queen Elizabeth sitting on the Iron Throne. leave it to me. I might be able to arrange that.
See, I assume you're talking about Photoshop, but I want to believe you're actually just going to go ring Liz up, like, oh, we need to do a photo shoot.
Now, because you know what's going to happen. You're going to have Peter Dinklage telling Prince Philip about his character, Prince Philip. Then in the next shooting, you're going to have no sign of Peter Dinklage and Prince Philip wearing his costume. Anyway, shall we move on? You know, TV reboots are happening left, right, and centre. There's all sorts of TV reboots, and some are truer than others. But what happens when you reboot live TV? I mean, how does it work? Because a reboot is basically starting...
Reality TV.
Yeah, sorry, reality TV, sorry. A reboot is essentially telling the story from the beginning all over again. So with something like A&E Network's Biography or TLC's Trading Spaces, or even Food Network's Iron Chef, Discovery's Cash Cab, that sort of thing, how do you reboot that when a reboot is essentially telling the story all over again? Do you get, like, the old winners in and they have to go through all their competitions again?
I mean, you can't reset continuity on something that doesn't have any continuity to reset.
That's my point.
Like, you would have to reset the universe.
Yes. I mean, what is it? American Idol. How do you reboot American Idol?
Well, they did it with Over Here, though, didn't they? Well, Pop Idol. Didn't that become, like, the Cross Factor?
Well, Pop Idol became X Factor, but that was just an evolution. That wasn't exactly a reboot. Because Pop Idol didn't have any continuity. It had no story. So you can't reboot something that doesn't have continuity or a story.
Yeah, no, you don't reboot like reality TV. You just revamp it.
Yeah, that's all you do. So I don't understand why everybody is saying these shows are coming out. Oh, it's a reboot of Iron Chef. How do you do a reboot of Iron Chef?
What if it's like Star Trek, where they have like all the original cast of Iron Chef and make cameo appearances?
That's possible, but
I don't remember, what was the old host called?
I can't remember.
Okay, Iron Chef Man is what I'll call it. It's like you have the old Iron Chef Man kind of like hand a cleaver over to the new one. So like, this is your time now. Iron Chef, the next generation.
I take it though. I get what they mean by reboot. I mean, what I was talking about last, I think it was last week or the week before, the Gadget Show. That was a reboot technically. It was totally different, but under the same name.
Well, I don't know. I'd say that's a revamp more than a reboot, because the Gadget Show never really went off air for a while, and basically. As we said, a reboot is where you start from the very beginning all over again.
Yeah.
And the Gadget Show never started from the beginning again. When they came back, when Craig Charles was on, they didn't really go into detail about what the Gadget Show was and why they were doing this stuff and everything like that. Because...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Usually it's more fictional stuff that gets rebooted, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean...
So is there going to be like... a new series of Big Brother where they come in and say, like, welcome to this brand new type of show we've just thought of.
That's my point, exactly. That's what would define a reboot. You can't have a reboot of reality TV, so stop calling them reboots.
Do you think they'll have a reboot?
Now, there's a possibility. I know that they were talking about reboot at some point, but nothing really happened with it as far as I'm aware.
Also, I'm pretty sure, wasn't the villain in that called Megabyte?
Yes.
Oh, the early 2000s when that was an impressive sounding name.
Yeah, I know. No. The mid 80s when 500 megabytes on Johnny Five's hard drive was a massive amount of storage space.
Now you can't even run a toaster on 500 megabyte.
This is true.
And there's actually a quite funny tone to that if you listen to the Geek Show this week.
So yes, there is. Okay, final news story then, before we take a break. Saturday Night Live. Now, Saturday Night Live, if you've ever watched the actual show on NBC, they basically go through the show, but then all the comedy stops at the adverts, and it goes into these advertisement breaks where you have real adverts, everything like that, and then they come back, and it kind of breaks up the momentum of the show. And so NBC and Lorne Michaels, they've got this hardworking crew of satirists who want to make the show more compelling to watch, and more compelling especially to watch live rather than catching up by, you know, using clips the next day, stuff like that. So what they're working on is they're going to do 2 days where the show comes out on a Saturday night, and they are basically going to do adverts for a couple of companies. I think it's Verizon and Apple. But these are going to be advertisements that have been created by the Saturday Night Live satirists for Verizon and Apple to run during the commercial breaks of Saturday Night Live. So well, they're going to be Saturday Night Live adverts for Apple and Verizon, and they're going to be official adverts for Verizon and Apple done by Saturday Night Live.
Well, Channel 4 did something similar. I think they still do. With the Comedy Gala, you have Jimmy Carr and Alan Carr literally interrupting half the adverts in between.
What, they actually do voiceovers on the adverts?
They're actually in it.
Really?
A few years ago, Jimmy Carr actually assaulted the Go Compare Man during the Comedy Gala ads.
I missed this. I must see this.
You have to YouTube it for Jimmy Carr Go Compare.
I'm going to have a look at this.
They do it every year, I think. But that sort of thing, it does get you watching the adverts. So
yeah. But can you imagine if they did this for all the shows? So the advertisement breaks in Game of Thrones. If you suddenly have the Hound appearing behind somebody in an advert.
You could have, we'll use the Go Compare Man again. I know you'll just have the main advert, and then all of a sudden, a massive sword just comes out and decapitates him.
No, that would be Compare the Meerkat. Bloody rodents. Or, I don't know, one of those siffy, one of those science fiction shows. Star Trek, can you imagine the Star Trek?
You could swap Jon Snow with Jon Snow.
Oh my God. Andrew?
I can dig it. And he has to do the whole thing without a script.
Yes.
Because he knows nothing.
Yes. He resorts to dancing. The Jon Snow dance is a real thing, by the way. I'd love to see more shows do this sort of thing, because it's just ripe for comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've sold me on Kit Harington in his full, like, leather and fur, trying to dance to Hotline Bling.
Yes. It could work, couldn't it? I mean, I don't think it'd work for all shows, but there are so many shows it could work for, especially those kind of period dramas and shows like Saturday Night Live, you know, comedy shows and stuff like that.
Ooh. What? Could you imagine them with American Horror Story?
Yes. I'm just imagining, you know, that Darren Brown advert for that ride of his at Thorpe Park.
Watch that for the American Horror Story people.
Well, just basically the lights go off and Darren Brown's trying to do his creepy bit at the end. Then the lights go off and then Lady Gaga in full makeup in front of him. And Darren Brown goes, ah.
And that's not even an American Horror Story one, that's just Lady Gaga.
She just glances at...
Scott with like a thing of Silent Bang just walks into a room full of blood.
Yes. You know, this might take a while. No, I've just got the. I'm continuing on with my advert now. Lady Gaga just looks up and down at Darren Brown scornfully and just saunters off with a tut.
Does she not comment on him having cheekbones for days?
No. She just looks him up and down, tuts, and saunters off.
In, like, a dress made out of all of his suits.
Yes. Or a dress made out of cast members.
Yeah. not even, like, skinned alive or anything, just glued together.
Yeah, they're all just hanging off. Like,
just Evan Peters getting dragged along the floor.
Pleading at Darren Brown, save me! And Darren Brown's just looking really confused.
We've had some weird tangents before.
Out of all the stories that I thought would go on a tangent, it wasn't this one.
Well, it is a story about Saturday Night Live, so of all the stories that should go on a tangent, I think this is the one. And on that note, we shall take a break and we'll be back in a moment.
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Welcome back. And it's now time for what we've been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
Well, you both might not like this one, what I've been watching. But at the end of the day, you usually don't anyway. I've been watching. There's a new comedy chat show on Saturday night.
Okay.
I've been watching All Round to Mrs. Brown's.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
So, no, you're supposed to smile when I say that. You're supposed to go, yay, you know.
No.
I mean, I would if it weren't the fact that it was a terrible show.
Well, I've been watching All Round to Mrs. Brown's, and basically this is the family and the character from the TV show, Mrs. Brown, and she opens the doors to a house for a Saturday night talk show type of thing, in which they invite and interview celebrity guests. But it's a very... I think it's the competition to what Ant and Dec kind of do. It's the Saturday night bit of everything type show. But, I mean, I like Mrs. Brown, but I know you guys, you're not too much of a fan. Is that fair to say?
That is indeed fair to say.
Yeah, I was going to say that is the absolute fair thing to say.
But we have to give Mrs. Brown a chance with this one. Basically, it starts off pretty much as every other episode of a TV show starts off. However, they introduce celebrity guests into the comedy situations type of thing.
Yeah.
The first episode it's a very unique pairing. The guests were Pamela Anderson and Judy Murray.
What?
So it's not really paired together too much, but it was a very entertaining show, and they always get either one or two of their mums onto the show as well. Like, for example, Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield were on the second episode, and so was Holly's mum and Philip's mum. So it's a unique spin to it, and obviously Mrs. Brown asks the really offensive questions that she's known for.
Yep.
I think it's a breath of fresh air, really. And I do recommend it. They do have different games as well. And Buster and Dermot always have a guest as well. Louis Walsh in the first episode. But
okay.
And they have a musical act as well.
It sounds like the format is basically every single talk show in existence, just with Mrs. Brown as the lead. But it kind of reminds me of, you remember what they did? You know, the Kumars.
It is. It is. It's basically half sitcom, half interview.
I mean, the way you described it reminded me totally of what they did with, the Kumars at number 34 or something like that.
Definitely. The show's ratings, I mean, the first two episodes, The first one got 6.93 million viewers.
Okay.
And episode two got 5.53. So already that's five times what Top Gear gets.
Yeah, but that kind of shows you the appalling state of British humour at the moment.
I think on a Saturday night, everybody likes different things, but you have to laugh. And it's really good that there's so much selection. And I think that's, you can talk about like how the state of TV is in and things like that, but when you've got all these alternatives, Saturday night is actually beginning to feel like Saturday night. So it's a good... I recommend it.
Did you just say Saturday night is beginning to feel like Saturday night?
Yeah, with TV.
Oh, you mean from when you were younger?
Yeah, you've got that thing where you've got quite a lot of choices where you can just, you know, sit down, have a laugh, and it's not always on and deck, which...
Yeah, you can sit down and have a laugh, or you can watch Mrs. Brown.
Like I said, I lament the state of British humour. Sorry, Andy.
We were bad.
And anyway, if the next episode coming, which would have been the Saturday after this show goes out.
Yeah.
So we'll say the last episode that aired is Kevin Bridges and Ross Kemp.
Okay.
So that might be a good, or that was a really good show.
Okay. So, do you want to go next, Andy, or do you want me to? Andrew, sorry.
I'll go next with the thing that I've had prepared from the very beginning, just like we both have, Rob.
Yes.
So, I've been, actually quite a few of the shows I like have come back. So we've got Line of Duty, which I wasn't going to talk about because spoilery spoilers.
Yes.
And we've got The Last Kingdom is back as well.
The Last Kingdom's back?
Yes, it is, for more Viking stabby adventures.
Okay.
So this is, it's kind of set, it's like at the formation of England in the 9th century AD, which is a thing I knew and didn't look up. So, you know, it's basically back when everything's like split into like Essex and Sussex and Wessex and what such.
Yeah.
And Vikings have come and taken over most of it, and only Alfred the Great is left to stand against it. And amongst all of that, you've got Uhtred of Bedenberg, who is basically the heir to the throne of kind of the North.
Yeah.
But he got kind of betrayed by his uncle and sold into slavery. So he's kind of a child who's been born in England, but raised by Vikings. So he's kind of got this whole man of two worlds thing going on.
Yeah.
Also, more importantly, he's well good with the sword and like stabbing people. It's kind of, is a lot of the draw with this show is it's kind of a bit Game of Thronesy, but historically accurate.
What, you mean Game of Thrones isn't historically accurate?
Yes.
I mean, I think we might have to have a bit of a sit down and a chat, Andy.
Well, I don't know, because Snoop Dogg reckons he learned history from Game of Thrones. So,
Professor Dogg, head of archaeology.
Anyway, Andrew, what were you saying?
But yeah, I like it, and this series has focused more on Uhtred kind of leaving King Alfred's service and kind of going back to try and reclaim his kingdom for a bit. But that didn't work out too well. And he ended up kind of getting sold off to slavers again and having to serve on a slave ship.
Okay.
Which, yeah, that was actually a pretty brutal episode.
It sounds it.
Yeah, because like, they have not skimped on the production values. And I like that, like, because I feel like in a lot of shows, people go through kind of stuff like that. And they go through hardships in such a way to not spoil their handsomeness. But, like, you see Uhtred with, like, obviously with cracked lips and, like, weeping sores on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit horrible.
Oof.
But in a good way.
Hmm.
So anyway, that is a show I like.
Excellent.
Sounds very...
Do you know what isn't a show I like? What? That I wasn't going to talk about, but... So I'm doing it anyway. Iron Fist. Iron Fist is really boring, guys.
Yeah,
I
know.
Is that the one nobody likes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Iron Fist was going to be amazing, but it's so dull.
I don't understand. It's about a man with magic kung fu powers. Why is he spending the entire series in boardroom meetings?
That is exactly the question I was asking. I want more punching. Less paper shuffling, more punching.
In theory, I want more punching. But then Finn Jones does some punching and he's really bad at it.
Yeah.
Well, you have to look at it this way as well. You don't have to be a fan of whatever. Is it a comic? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be a fan of the comic to know roughly what the show's going to be about. I mean, if you go watch a show called Iron Fist, you expect something to do with fighting.
I don't know. I think you could be expecting something very different.
Yes.
And you would be sorely disappointed.
Somebody else would be sore as well. Sorry, you couldn't resist.
I mean, we joke, but the show does kind of spoil that joke by literally just having one of the characters go, Iron Fist sounds like a sex toy. It's not a good show.
No, it's not. I'm amazed at how dull it is. I honestly thought it was going to be a really interesting, really fun show to watch, and it seems like they put all of the exciting bits in the trailers and in the previews. And everything else is just...
Well, it's kind of been one of those things that's been revealed online. Apparently Finn Jones basically had to learn all his fight scenes 15 minutes before they filmed.
That's a stupid thing.
Yeah. Like, considering that's the thing that should be the focus of your show...
Yeah.
You done messed up.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
But also, the salient point of all this...
Yeah?
It's been created by a guy named Scott Buck. And he's the guy who was also creating the Inhumans show.
Oh, God, that doesn't sound good.
No.
That does not sound good at all.
So, yeah, that show is going to be bad.
Yeah, it sounds it. Is it my turn?
I think so.
Yeah, go on then. Now that I've had a ramble of, like, various things that I've watched over the last week. Homeland's been pretty good as well. You should watch Homeland.
I have been watching Homeland, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm actually going to talk about something classic this time.
Ooh.
Yes, because I'd been watching MASH.
Ah.
Good old bit of MASH.
Yeah. As everyone already knows, it's based on Robert Altman's 1970 movie, and it lasted for 11 years, the TV series. It's amazing that it lasted that long. The whole series is set in a Mobile Army Surgical Hospital, which is where the title MASH comes from.
What? I thought they just really liked potatoes.
Yeah, I always thought as well until I found out what it stood for. But it's set in a mobile hospital during the Korean War. And it's... The thing I love about MASH is that, number one, I love the characters. The characters are just so vibrant and so great, but also so human at the same time. And I look at sitcoms now, stuff like The Big Bang Theory, Friends, stuff like that. And you can see just how much these modern sitcoms have taken from the previous shows. It's called
Friends, a modern sitcom.
Yeah. Compared to MASH.
It's been off the air for like a decade.
Compared to MASH, it's been off the air for a short time.
That's true.
I'm just the point I'm making is that those shows learned so much from shows like MASH and Taxi and stuff like that.
Yeah. All joking aside, it is like the most influential comedy ever made.
Yeah. And MASH is just, the characters are so human in that. And the actual situation they're in is such a horrifying situation. They're in a mobile hospital during wartime. So they're having people come in with horrible injuries. You know, they've been in explosions or they've been shot or stabbed or whatever. And they're having to deal with it on a daily basis. And a lot of the show is about how all these doctors and nurses use humour to overcome the visceral nature of the things that they're seeing and the things that they're having to do to save these people's lives.
Also, I realise now you missed out, like, probably the show that owes the biggest debt of gratitude to it, and that's Scrubs.
Yes, Scrubs owes a lot to MASH. But the thing is, I never get bored of watching MASH. I can get bored of watching loads of sitcoms, but certain classic sitcoms, like MASH, I never get bored of watching because the way they're written is just so brilliantly done. It's as though writers back then had so much more talent than writers now. And I hate to say it like that because I know writers right now don't get treated that well, which is why the Writers Guild is going to strike again. But it just seems like...
Oh, your fault, Rob. You've caused this strike with your words.
Sorry. But it just seems like writers back in, back in the 70s and early 80s, they had so much more ability with dialogue, for a start.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's probably less writers having more talent and more studio executives having less control.
Yeah. But then again, you also had a really good cast. MASH, you had, I think Alan Alda was in there. Harry Morgan, David Ogden Steers, and a few loads of others, and all of them were such good actors as well. Just taking Friends as a comparison to MASH, for example, and by extension, The Big Bang Theory, which is basically geeky Friends. MASH, you had all these great characters, but then and these great actors playing these characters. But then you went to Friends, and you had Jennifer Aniston playing a character not very well for a lot of the shows, because she's not a good actress. I'm sorry, but she isn't. You know, she's a pretty face, not a good actress. And then you move on from that to...
I don't think Jennifer Aniston has, like, her thing that she can do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the ditzy, quirky-ish one.
I don't know.
Basically, she's just Rachel and everything.
I don't know. I think Jennifer Aniston is good at playing a checkout girl, as she did in Office Space. I think she's good at that. But aside from that, I wouldn't really treat her as a great actress. And, Courtney Cox, Arquette, I wouldn't say is a great actress either.
No, she's kind of not great.
And Dave Schwimmer, he's not a brilliant actor. But then you move on to something like Big Bang Theory, and you have a lot of people who have real difficulty acting, and you can see it on their face. Everything is so scripted and so rigidly structured. The jokes have to be structured in a certain way for this to happen, which is one of the reasons I went off the Big Bang Theory, because everything was just so prefabricated. Whereas with MASH, there was a lot more of a natural flow to everything.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you talk about the actors, but it is also the fault of the show itself.
Yeah.
You can only work with what you've got.
This is true. I will agree with you on that. I would say if you've never watched MASH, then you should sit down and give it a try, because it is one of the best sitcoms to come out of the US ever.
Yeah. And it means we've gone from a terrible show about a Marvel superhero to a really good show about a Marvel superhero.
How?
Because it's MASH, but it's about Hawkeye.
Oh, God. I forgot Hawkeye. Yes, Hawkeye is a character in MASH, along with Hot Lips Houlihan and various others.
I mean, Tim, that was just going to be a bad joke, but you made it wonderfully awful.
Oh. And on that note, we are at the end of the show. You can find all of our shows on iTunes, Mixcloud, Audioboom, YouTube, and various other places on the internet. And, if you are listening through Audioboom or iTunes, if you're listening through iTunes, leave us a review. If you're listening through Audioboom, subscribe. You'll find all of our shows quicker that way. So, yeah. Until next time, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening.